Your backyard is a wonderland of healing plants for the taking. Using herbs doesn't have to be scary, and we find out why and how with author, herbalist, and homesteader, and Tracy's soul sister, Rachel Jepson Wolf, on this week's Band of Mothers podcast.
This is the Band of Mothers podcast. Band of
Mothers. Welcome back, breeders.
Band of Mothers podcast.
We love you.
Hello.
I just want to point out, I've been giggling about this since you told me that you were like, oh, I just wanted to let you know that I put on cute clothes today with a bra and like a cute outfit. And then you just were like, nope. And then you just changed.
I did. I took it all off. I literally out loud said, I can't do this. And then I took my bra.
I can't decide what I'm more impressed at, that you decided you should be in a cute outfit. Or that you just honored the fact that there's just no way it was going to happen.
It was like the bra was like hurting my soul. And I had these like short shorts on.
Oh.
Because, you know, the weather finally changed today.
It's beautiful.
It's been crappy all weekend. Yeah. So then it finally was nice. And I was like, I'm going to wear little shorts with my t-shirt and my bra. And then I was like, nope.
That's cute.
Well, thank you.
Well, I'm sure you looked cute for 35 seconds. I just feel like that's like everyone's life right now.
I mean, no, thank you.
I know.
So listen, everyone listening to this,
listen up.
You, if you like the podcast, will you share the podcast?
Will you
just send it on to a friend and let her know that we exist, because we need more people to know we exist.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be very helpful.
Your friend so happy. If you're happy, why wouldn't you want to make your friend happy?
And just so you know, like, that's the way this works. Like, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, just because we have this podcast doesn't mean that all of a sudden everyone listens to it. There's, you know, there's you guys, and we totally appreciate you. But let's get more people listening to it so that we can continue to do this podcast.
Yeah. Nor, just to be perfectly clear, nor does it mean we're just right now sitting in just like a bed of money. Like, it's,
we're on a yacht.
We're not. And would like to be. I'm not going to lie. But it does take an exponential amount of listeners for Shay and I to pay for the groceries.
And it's been a bad week in crypto, guys. So
there's that. So anyway, but more importantly, it's all about Band of Mothers. So if you've got a Band of Mothers, bring them into the fold.
Bring them into the fold. Join our Facebook community, which is growing all the time. So go ahead and go to Band of Mothers on Facebook and join our high vibe, awesome community of moms. Leave a review. That helps too.
Oh my gosh, helps so much. Unless you call us idiots.
That was the best review we've ever had.
Amazing.
And we are so excited about today's episode. But first, we wanted to talk about some weird stuff that we're going through as moms, which,
I mean, what's new?
What's new?
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So my daughter is in fifth grade now. So they do what's now called human development. It's not even called sex ed anymore.
Human development sounds like something that like a Will Smith sci-fi movie would be about, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's where a little they grow aliens.
Human development.
Like a, yeah. Yeah. That's what they call it. And it was so funny because Chris and I were talking about like what it was like when we were kids, and he got separated. It was like boys versus girls, which I think is ridiculous because it's the boys who need to learn mostly about what the girls are going through.
Well, and P.S. they don't teach girls what they're going through, as we've discovered. Like, you don't actually ever really learn about your body.
Well, you
it's,
we
in
didn't.
School.
Oh no, I think they do now.
They do.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, the most impressive thing the first week they did it, because they do it once a week, was how many parts there were, more parts there were on and in girls than on boys.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
At least they acknowledge there's parts.
Yes.
It's not just a vessel.
Things are different from when we were kids in 1952.
It's yeah. like two stick figures and then they make you pray.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm a Jew.
I know. Well, they're still
Jews
God.
Pray.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to tell you guys this story. So my son has been overhearing, because, you know, we try to be like super open in our house. They've both read It's So Amazing, which is the book that I highly recommend.
I've got to borrow that for
it's,
Eve.
It's
she's
pretty
struggling.
Good. Yeah, it's a good one. And it's if you're curious, like, oh, gosh, my kid's starting to ask questions. What do I do? If you want to do what I did, you tell them that you're getting them a book. And then when it comes, you leave it in their room with a note that says, let me know if you have any questions.
Or if you're like me and my husband, you do it on spring break while you're both drinking margaritas at a yes. restaurant. And then to quote my daughter directly, that really ruined the trip. Because we just laid out everything over margaritas and alligator bites.
But it's so much better. I mean, when I was a kid, I never knew that the penis went inside the vagina, first of all, until I saw a porn, because I had older cousins and stuff, and was like, what? And it was like horrible, and like I was scared of sex for years and years.
How did you not know a penis? Didn't they teach us that?
So I'm going to be completely honest here. This is not even what we intended on talking about. I thought, because, you know, when you are like a kid and you're masturbating, you don't put anything like inside you. So I just thought that like the semen just like dripped or like somehow found its way, because they're swimmers.
I did think that. I thought that it was like almost like Magneto, like it would just like crawl up your leg and go inside
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I mean, because all you're doing at that age is like humping pillows or something. Right.
Right.
So
right.
like anyway. That's what I thought. So I was so I'm just so glad that there's a book like It's So Amazing yeah. that actually just kind of describes it. And they talk about all kinds of things in that book. It's a great book. I'll put it on Shop the Podcast okay. for you guys. But anyway, so my son has been overhearing a lot of these conversations, and he's younger, but we try to be open. He's read the book, and he says in the car the other day, it was just me and him, and he goes, Mom, if a woman... why does she have to take that thing if she already knows because she did that other thing? And I'm like, please stop
Define
and explain.
Thing, please.
Yeah. And he goes, the test to know if she's pregnant. And I was like, oh, a pregnancy test? He goes, yeah, she would already know because she did the other thing.
Oh, had the SDX.
The SDX, yeah. Which I'm like, sex, because yeah. I don't want it right, to be weird.
Of course.
And I was like, oh, yeah. First of all, amazing question. Second of all,
you know, like just Aunt do Tracy, it twice. Aunt Tracy took 350 of those things and did it 750 times.
Yeah. Like, and I'm just like, appreciate his little brain, right?
Sure.
Being like,
oh, yeah.
Well, that makes sense. So then, yeah, then I had to be like, well, son, so you don't just have it when you actually have it because you love somebody and mm-hmm. it's a way of being close, and your dad and I have sex all the time, and his face was like,
yeah, I know.
You know, but I was just like trying to be super honest. So then I was like, you know what, buddy? Thank you. Thanks for asking me that question. You can ask me anything. We can talk. I want you to always like tell me when you have a question, especially about this stuff. Never be embarrassed. I will always tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay. Cut to 30 seconds later in the car, and I hear, Mom, and I'm like, oh no. And he goes, what did Michael Jackson do that was so bad?
Oh God. You're like, who wants ice cream?
Yeah, I'm like, look, a unicorn. I was like, first of all, weird brain.
I mean, straight,
because like, what's the one thing that I've just refused for years to tell him that he's always wanted to know?
You're like, also that news cycle was 4 years ago, Bo. So why are we talking about
it
now?
Like, I won't listen to Michael Jackson. Yeah. And if it's on, I turn it off in the car. And the kids are always like, why? And I just say, he's a very bad human and I can't tell you why. And so it's, I guess for years, it's just been like, he's been so curious.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I did not answer him. I was like, listen, bud, you're too young. that is something that I cannot tell you, but I will tell you when you're old enough, and just trust me that you don't want to know.
Well, I had to try to explain to my daughter why Jeffrey Epstein is a bad human.
Oof.
Oof. And she's like, well, what did he do? I was like, he's just a bad man. I mean, isn't that enough at this age? They're bad men.
No.
She's like, well, what did he do? I'm like, he's bad to children. He was really bad to children. She's like, well, like what? I was like, he just was really mean to children. And then I was like.
Then he thinks he's like the witch in the woods, like luring kids in with candy.
I mean, kind of.
He was. Yeah.
And then. Yeah. And so my daughter, she's still in that phase. She's real angry. We gave her the sex talk, just generally speaking. But she, the other day we were talking about it again, and she's like, cause she was laughing at herself. Cause she thought, she was like, well, of course you guys had to tell me about it, because I thought that when you fall in love, then you just have a baby.
Yeah.
And that's why when we were at the restaurant, she was like, I think she was talking about like, two women who are, I think we're talking about Brandi Carlile. And she's like, and then they fell in love and they had a baby. And we're like, okay. And now it's time. Like, got to clear this all up, right? And so she's like, that's so funny. And now I know they do that other awful thing and you've ruined everything.
But so wasn't she confused about how the two women did it?
Oh,
then?
No. Oh, she's very. So she knows all about surrogacy.
The weirdest way to explain
I mean,
it.
It's, yeah, we just.
Start with the most complicated.
Yeah. So we've covered all the coupling and the ways to create or maintain or obtain a baby.
Okay.
But she's still real mad about the sex part.
Okay.
Fair enough. She's 10. Mm-hmm. And then she walks into the kitchen like out of nowhere, like slaps. And if you know my
daughter,
this
was like months later.
No, this was like last week.
No, months later from the conversation.
No, like, well, no, the conversation happened in April. So we're within like a month of like processing.
Okay.
But she walks in like out of nowhere, and my daughter's like, she can be very deadpan, and she like slaps her hands on the kitchen counter and stares at me, and she's like, wait. So Nana has sex? Sorry, Mom. My mom listens to this. But like, she was real mad that Nana has sex. Like,
I love that. It's just like the worst thing they could imagine is their grandma having sex.
And when I told her, when we were like, well, yeah. And her face, it was like a vomit face with like, oh God, no. Like, it was like too much. But the thing is like all of her grandparents are divorced. So then we were like, well, Nana had sex with Papa, who's now married to Grandma Judy, and now Papa and Grandma. Poor thing. I mean, I've really she knows all the combinations. She's real mad that Nana has sex.
Oh my God, that is. So
I'm like, not anymore.
Funny.
Not after the divorce, honey. that ship has sailed. Sorry,
that
Mom.
Ship has sailed. Yeah. So, oh my God, we were watching Schitt's Creek with the kids, probably inappropriately, but like. We got to the whole part about being pansexual. And I feel like my kid like knows it all just from being now in human development and from school. And she was just, that really blew her mind.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. So we had to have this like conversation about it. And then she was asking some questions and Chris was asking questions. And Chris asked some question and about like what you call someone who's something, I don't know, you know. And then Georgia just goes, well, the truth is, Dad, it's whatever they prefer to be called. And that's what's important.
Girl.
And we were like, I guess she is learning something at school.
Or from Schitt's Creek. We haven't gotten to that part yet. Mm. But I skip a bunch of Schitt's Creek with Evie.
Oh.
You're not skipping?
No. I mean, they know what sex is, so what?
I know. I mean, I skipped the part where like they got high and had sex. We just skipped over it.
Oh. But oh, yeah, no, we didn't.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean.
Anyway. To each their own.
To each. I mean, neither one of us should be showing our kids Schitt's Creek, but I couldn't take it anymore, and we've run out of things to watch.
It's so fun,
and it's so good. Her favorite thing is, "No, you shut up!"
No,
like
you
she's
shut
obsessed
up.
With Alexis, so it's worth it.
It's so good.
Anyway, speaking of sex, we have a show about herbs.
It's like, what? How are you going to connect that? I
There's
love
no
that.
There's no connection. It's life.
So this episode, can I just say, like, as a mom. And as you'll know from this interview, who knows like very little about this world, this is a really eye-opening, informative episode, especially about how to know what kinds of plants and like understanding how not to hurt yourself. Because I think it can be really intimidating in the sense of like, what was that movie where the guy like dies because he ate the berries in Alaska?
Oh, Christ, I don't know.
Into the wild or whatever.
Yeah.
So like, I'm like, oh my God, I would never just pick a dandelion and make a salve. Well, this amazing guest would.
Yes.
And so would Tracy.
Yes. The natural world is far less scary than many things that are in the grocery store.
Understood. But so I'm learning that. Yes. And so will all of you listening today, because this conversation is telling you exactly that. We ask all the questions, and we ask all the questions to someone who is more than qualified and absolutely just a delight. So,
So Rachel Jepson Wolf, you can follow her. She's at Lusa Mama. She's an incredible writer. I've followed her for years. She's just an inspiration, grounded, cool, chill, just comfortable in her own skin. Just, you know, she's just herself, and that's all you can be. And she's just a wealth of knowledge. And
she knows a buttload about herbs. And
oh my gosh, completely. So even if you don't think you would ever do it, it's complete. Do it. You should always do it. Even if you don't think you'll ever buy a bag of herbs and make your own tea or anything of the like.
Or if you've ever just thought your friend with a purse full of essential oils is a fucking lunatic.
That's me, by the way.
That was not pointed at all.
You know what? I own it. At least I always smell good.
What was that meme that we put up?
Oh God, it's so funny. Allow children to believe in Santa Claus. You believe in essential oils and no one is ruining that magic for you.
Oh my God. There's nothing I love more than like self-aware, like
agree.
Comedy. That's so,
so
funny.
It's so funny. It me.
It Tracy.
Anyway, yes, but if you think they're lunatics, stop being so goddamn judgy and maybe give nature a chance.
Maybe learn a little something with this amazing interview. Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Rachel Jepson Wolf, thank you so much for joining Band of Mothers podcast. It's such a treat to have you on. Before we get started and just blasting you with questions, you have such an interesting story. So give us a little overview of how many humans you're raising, where you live, what's your jam, what do you do, and just give us a little snippet about yourself.
You bet. So I'm humans first. I'm raising two humans. I think I've raised one because he's 18 now. So I think I get to tick a box or something. So I have two teenagers and I've homeschooled them since straight out of the gate. We live in rural southern Wisconsin on a little homestead. I run my own organic skincare business and I write books, as we're going to chat about.
And so what is a homestead?
So we have, we raised animals for a few years when our kids were younger. We raised goats and sheep and we had a family cow and we raised chickens we've raised chickens since the start. We've simplified in recent years as my kids have gotten older. So now it's sort of farm in appearances, but less in function. So we don't have a cow anymore. We don't have sheep and goats, but we have chickens and quail and, you know, do a little bit of minor farming in that regard. And then we have a big old garden and some woods that I love to spend time foraging in.
So a homestead is basically like a farm without the farming.
Yeah, like we're not raising, you know, 100 head of milk cow or anything like that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that sounds more like a farm. A homestead is basically like my dream scenario of where I'm going to be when I grow up at some point.
When you grow up. Nice.
So that's hard. I mean, you live in such a cold climate. How do you grow food? I mean, obviously just in the growing months.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you can garden in just about anywhere. So we can't grow really long season vegetables or
you can garden anywhere.
Well, that's debatable. I can try. Okay. So it limits the scope of what we can grow. I can't grow something that needs, you know, 150 days to be ready, but I can raise something with a short growing season.
Gotcha.
With varying degrees of success, depending on my, you know, garden juju.
Well, and before we dive into learning more about that, I know this, we could do a whole other episode on homeschooling, but when you say that you live in rural Wisconsin and that you homeschooled your kids since the very beginning, I think everyone wants to know, like, did they have friends? Did they like socialize?
Yes, they did. They do.
Yes. And so,
absolutely.
So what was that like for them in such a isolated situation?
So we aren't so much isolated. We live in a really interesting part of Wisconsin where it's a really progressive community here. The nearest town has a Montessori school, a Waldorf school, a Waldorf high school, a charter high school. There's a ton going on in our town.
Gotcha.
And a really vibrant homeschooling community on top of that. So it's been really the sweet spot. So my son, who's 18 now, he's always drawn friends from within the homeschooling community and from, you know, the Waldorf school or the, you know, the charter high school. There's a real eclectic group of people that we spend time with. And I think the vision of homeschooling in isolation is a super common myth about homeschooling that makes a lot of people go, ee. And now during the time we're going through right now, there's even a higher perception of like, wow, this is not fun, but this is not our normal either. We're usually with a ton of other people all the time. And so it's different even for homeschoolers right now.
Right. Well, that's why I asked, because it really is like much more in everyone's purview now. I mean, when we were growing up, you would hear about a kid that was homeschooled and you just had this vision that they were completely isolated. So destroying that myth is interesting.
Yeah. I shared that vision, you know, as a young person, I absolutely had that myth in my own brain. Mm.
I would say the people that I've known that homeschooled, it's actually completely the opposite. They have much
huge
better
community.
Social lives and like see so many people and they're out and they're doing things and just totally just a different vibe. So you write books when you're not teaching your children. And so I guess I'm curious, we're going to get into your book and I have Herbal Adventures. My family loves it. I've had it for a while. It's super fun. Backyard Excursions and Kitchen Creations for kids and their families. It's a super easy read about how to like apply standard common herbs, I would say, to day-to-day life. But what came first? The homestead? I mean, you're obviously, and this comes from someone who's very crunchy. Like, were you crunchy first and then you went into herbs? Did the herbs come first? Then you went into homeschooling? Like, what? Has this just always been your life?
Always crunchy.
Always crunchy.
Yeah. I mean, I was that kid like knee deep in the mud chasing frogs. I was that super outdoorsy, curious about nature. I grew up spending a lot of time camping with my family. I always joke that my childhood long game with my father was, what tree is that? Which led me to pursuing a degree as a naturalist doing environmental education. So what tree is that became, what bird is that? And, you know, what soil type is that? And all the things. And so I went to school for environmental ed and biology. And I've always been in love with plants. I mean, I would, as a young college student, I'd spend my free time in the plant taxonomy lab, just, you know, in the city, just flipping through the herbarium sheets, looking at these dried plants. And it was always what I was passionate about. I didn't know that herbs were also food and medicine at that time. There was a very limited scope of my understanding of how humans have utilized herbs forever. So I fell into that when my first child was a newborn and I started discovering herbalism through a Rosemary Gladstar book that I bought totally on a whim. And I mean, she is the fairy godmother of herbalism.
She's great.
So I fell into herbalism just following my intuition and buying one of her books. And it just cracked open my passion for plants on a whole different level going forward from there.
I love that. And then another burning question, because you love plants so much, are you vegan?
No, I am not vegan. No, I was a vegetarian for 10 years. But you know, when you think about it, that question could be turned around. It could be like, am I a carnivore, right? Because
sure.
I feel like everything has energy. And as long as we're appreciative and we're mindful of what we're consuming and we're choosing the most ethically either raised or foraged or harvested food that we can within our means and within our, you know, reality, that's the best we can do regardless of plant or animal.
I love that. That's very...
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Okay.
So let's go back to basics and describe how you would define an herb.
So an herb is going to be a plant that's either wild or domesticated that's useful as food or as medicine, something you can take internally or something you can use topically. So I guess you'd break off from like garden produce. Let's focus on medicinals because that's a little bit easier.
Yeah.
So something like nettles. Many of us are familiar with stinging nettle out on the hiking trail when we stumble into something and our legs are burning. But it's also a useful both edible and medicinal plant. So it's really a nutrient dense plant. So plantain is one that most people know, or dandelion. These are things that grow in our yard. And we think of them as weeds. A lot of the herbs that are incredibly prolific in, you know, your backyard or your neighborhood, wherever you live. A lot of those things we label as weeds, I would label as herbs. Dandelion, great example.
Yeah, I like to call my weed herb as well.
That's different.
Totally medicinal though. But like lettuce isn't an herb.
Correct.
In that sense.
Okay. But, and so then what's the difference between an herb and an essential oil if it's topical?
So this is a great conversation because a lot of people are passionate about essential oils right now. And I was actually into essential oils before I discovered herbs. And there was this interesting transition that I felt happen where I went from being super into essential oils to falling much more deeply in love with herbs. So the way I think of it is this: an essential oil is, it's an extraction. It's a highly processed extraction from a plant. Whereas the herb itself is everything that's happening in there. So let's use lavender as an example. Mm-hmm. So the lavender essential oil takes a massive amount of plant matter to extract. And then you're getting these aromatics, which contain some of the medicinals of the plant for sure. But if you take lavender itself and you slow infuse it in oil, for example, you're getting more out of less plant material. So environmentally, it's less intensive to use whole herbs. And it doesn't require intensive farming. You know, you can take a quarter cup or a cup of something and create a half pint of a useful remedy that you can use on your family going forward. So And you can use them together as well.
And I mean, there's so much debate about essential oils and its potency, and it's just sort of people feeling like it's all in people's brains. I mean, there was recently that thing on, what was it, on Netflix that was trying to like debunk essential oils. I mean, is it just that it has to be a certain quality, a certain grade of oil or even herb, organic, to actually work, or are there like really crazy people too?
I think it's more that we've reached this point where we're throwing essential oils at everything, and we're throwing them at some of the right things that they're going to work really well for, and some things that aren't necessarily appropriate. So a lot of the internal use of essential oils that you see trending, with people suggesting, add a drop of lemon to your morning water. How about add a slice of lemon to your morning water? Then you get everything that's going on there. And we didn't need to extract a...
And it costs like one penny.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of like $15 a bottle.
Right. Whereas I'm still going to put a drop of essential oils into a diffuser when somebody's congested or when somebody's having anxiety. They're still useful that way. Mm-hmm. But maybe we've put all our energy focusing on this one highly processed, highly refined branch of herbalism. Plants.
So I feel that, because I did the same thing. Like, I feel like essential oils are the gateway to a broader understanding of plant medicine in general, which is why I just, you know, drink ayahuasca every night. Just jokes. I don't. Never done it. But how do you, it's daunting, I think, because in my take on this is, in our Western minds, I think we've sort of been told like herbs are dangerous. You drink the wrong thing, you could die, you know, massive allergic reactions, all of which are true, you know, in the space of plants. But how do you even start with confidence to just integrate? And I think confidence is the right word. Like, how do you just know that, okay, I'm gonna replace X that I get at the Target pharmacy department with Y from the local apothecary? And how do you know that it's gonna work the same? And where do you start?
This is huge. I mean, you took on something we could talk about for like 25
hours later. Right.
are we all sleeping here? And we're just going to keep talking.
Then apply them to your children. Go.
Yeah. So I'm just going to pick a random thing you touched on and just run with it. And then you redirect me if you need to. So the confidence is huge. And like you're speaking to, I grew up with, don't eat anything, you know, that you haven't properly ID'd. And how do you know if you're going to properly ID it? And if you eat the wrong thing, you're dead. Mm-hmm. I think it's an important point to make, and it's the first point I make in any foraging class, especially any children's foraging class, is you never eat something or taste something until you're 100% sure of its identity. But then once we can tick that box and we're 100% sure and we've had somebody check our work, there is so much out there that's edible. I mean, you can't walk down a trail without, you know, tripping over dozens of edible and medicinal plants. And same with your backyard. There are so many things growing right down in there with the grass, or, you know, weeds you're pulling out of your garden that are more nutritious than the plants you're leaving in their place.
Sorry. I was just going to say, you just said in your backyard, I think that it would be interesting to, as an exercise, like, so dandelions, but what else? Yeah. Like, what's in somebody's backyard in LA right now?
Well, I don't know LA because it's out of my biome, but like Milwaukee. Let's go with Milwaukee because that's more my neighborhood, or Minneapolis.
Because beer grows from the ground there, right?
It does. Actually, it's like a fountain. It's an artesian well of beer. Everywhere
and cheese
look.
Curds. Lots of cheese curds. Yeah.
That's what it rains. So looking in the Midwest, there would be, we talked about dandelion already. I mentioned plantain. That's not the banana. It's different. Two different kinds of plantain here. Okay. This is super common. It grows throughout the country, and it's a Europe. Many of these came from Europe. Many of the plants I'm listing are non-native to North America, but that's why they're so prolific, is because they're a little bit more invasive, because they've come in and kind of carved out their own niche. So dandelion, plantain, chicory, those sort of bluish purpley flowers you maybe see lining roadsides, maybe not in LA. What else? Chickweed is really common. Nettle, I mentioned, is common. Purslane is a super familiar garden weed for a lot of people. That's an edible. So they're out there. They're grown out of the cracks of the sidewalk. Not that those are the ones you want to eat, but
right.
But they're prolific, and many of them you already recognize. In my neighborhood, you know, there's mullein, there's Monarda, wild bee balm, there's wild rose, there all the lilacs you can eat, violets. So all these plants that many of us grew up at least recognizing, even mm-hmm. if we don't know their names, probably many of them, not probably, many of them aren't going to kill you if you eat them. And some of them are either medicinal or nutritious.
So let's go into the confidence part then. Mm-hmm. So then how do you actually apply them on a daily basis to fit a certain need, you know, to actually heal you or help you? And and do you actually see results?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's why I got so hooked into herbs. That's why I made the switch from being all about essential oils to being all about herbs, because I saw so much more potential in herbs. It just felt like the difference between, oh, go back to your cheese curd mention, you know, like the difference between Velveeta and like a wheel of brie. It was like a whole different world. All of a mm-hmm. sudden, there was so much more richness to it. So my first experience out of that Rosemary Gladstar book was I made a calendula infused oil. And I literally bought calendula. You know, I had my dial up modem and I ordered some calendula online and got it and read her recipe, made this first. I didn't even know what calendula looked like, honestly. And I made an infused oil for my son and I used it for his ridiculously sensitive skin, and it blew my mind. And I was like, there's something here. And so I just started learning more, digging a little deeper and a little deeper. What I recommend to my students is choosing one plant at a time, because you look out the door or you hike through the woods and it's so overwhelming. Like, I have to know everything 10 minutes ago. And you don't. And all you need to do is pick one plant. Let's go back to dandelion. So I'm going to take dandelion and I'm going to learn to identify it and make sure there are no dangerous lookalikes. I'm not going to poison somebody if I, you know, pick the wrong plant. So I'm going to pick a simple, common, abundant plant. And then I'm just going to learn everything I can about it. I'm going to experiment with it. I'm not going to pressure myself to like get it right. I'm just going to play and see what unfolds. So dandelion, I'm going to make digestive bitters. I'm going to make a dandelion salad. I'm going to make a muscle oil, whatever. You can do a million things with one.
And where are you getting this information? Like, is there an app for that? Like, what do you do? Is it just books? Is it just your Googling?
Good old fashioned books.
it's a lot of things.
Never heard of it.
It's a lot of things. And once you can get back together in groups of people, finding somebody local who's knowledgeable is a great first step. My book, Herbal Adventures, I take step-by-step of just 10 plants. There are only 10 plants I feature in there, and they're all pretty ubiquitous and common and safe, and you know, they're easy to find. And you don't have to forage them. You can start by buying them at a local apothecary or online. So you can start with books, with local resources, which is going through a local nature center, a university extension office. Those are all good opportunities to find someone who's going to know what they're doing, who can say, yep, that's chickweed, or, oh no, you have to look at the way this is happening with the leaf pattern, and then you'll know if it's chickweed.
Yeah, I want to just interrupt and say the one thing I really loved about your book, and I wish you had 50 more plants in there, is that you really talk about the leaf and kind of like the leaf structure, or like pine, like, you know, needles have to be in groups of five or groups of two. And it's just an easy way. And once you get that in your head, it's like an equation. Then you just look at the leaf, you look for the characteristics, and then it's done. Like, you
absolutely
identify it.
Yeah.
So, but what about, I mean, can we actually go in our backyard and just pick dandelion? Isn't everything sprayed with like awful chemicals? And isn't there pollution on the flowers? And if we live in the city, like, is that safe to do?
Yeah, I watched my neighbor walk down the street last. Remember, she made me that dandelion salve, and she is it salve or salve?
Salve.
Salve. Salve. And she was just like getting them from everyone's yards and stuff. Like, is that okay? I'm rubbing that on my knee.
Yeah, so it really depends on It depends on your desires and needs, and it depends on where things are being picked from. A lot of us eat conventional vegetables. So literally to harvest potatoes, herbicides are sprayed on the plants and then they go through and dig them. And I mean, same with, you know, apples are sprayed actively. So it depends on what you're comfortable with, right? Mm-hmm. So the way... And it's not, there's no simple formula. And I have outlined a formula in Herbal Adventures of like, here's how to know if it's safe. No pet waste or other animal waste.
Oh, good call.
It should be a wave, right? Because you don't think about it.
Don't like pick up your dog poop and just like grab a dandelion while you're
or
at it.
Or go that's anywhere fair. Near the dog park for this project, right?
Oh, yeah.
Might be all the things, don't go there.
Yeah.
So pet waste. Chemical sprays. So if your neighbor is spraying their lawn, there's no way I would take those plants or want anything to do with them because you're going to be concentrating those pesticides in your preparations. Mm. Is it close to a roadway? And if it's close to a roadway, I say it's a no-go. So get far off of a road. So if you're in an urban area, what does that mean? That means you find a pretty out of the way part of a park. Where you can legally pick plants, or literally your own backyard. You find a neighbor who has a yard if you live in an apartment building, and you get permission to trade, you know, pine needles for a, you know, pine infused vinegar that they can put on their salad. So yeah, there will be some, you know, potential for pesticides in things you forage, but the same is true for things you'd grow in a garden or a flower box on your porch. Just think about it that way. Like, would I plant carrots here and eat them?
Right. Well, let's talk about kids. So especially right now during the pandemic, you know, immunity is so important. And I know that there are a ton of herbs that are good for that and that are easy and you can just kind of buy in bulk and make your own things instead of spending like $17.50 for a 4-ounce bottle of elderberry, for example.
Yeah.
You know, what would you say to our band of mothers would be like the top 5 things that would kind of keep everyone in the family healthy right now?
Well, my first tip is to stay healthy, to not try to, you know, retroactively make people healthy. Mm. So that's fresh air, that's stress management, that's exercise. It's getting good rest, it's mental health care, it's all those things, right? So that's first and foremost. Then the things that we do in our own family, we incorporate herbs based on who we are and what we need. So if you have somebody in your family who's prone to, you know, really productive coughs all the time, you're going to need something different than somebody in another family who's prone to getting really chilled and, you know, getting sick easily or whatever the case may be. So really look at who you're taking care of so that you're taking care of the right things. If you go to the pharmacy and you get, let's say a cold medicine. Now I'm talking about symptoms, and you get a cold medicine, they're meant to match the care with the treatment with the symptom. And I think it's important that we use herbs to support our whole system before we have any symptoms to take care of, but then that we also match what we're using. So there's not just one cough remedy if you have a cough. There are many different types of coughs and many different, you know, herbs in your spice cabinet that can work for that. So for our family, we definitely use elderberry. We like to include herbs in our cooking so that we're not taking remedies so much as just incorporating them into our everyday life.
And that really works? Like that actually helps?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I make a lot of bone broth from like chicken stock. Mm-hmm. After we have a chicken, I turn it into stock and then we use that stock if we're not making soups. It's for when we cook rice or something like that. So that's a daily thing that my family's getting. And I always add herbs to my bone broth. So I add kelp. I add nettle. I throw in a lot of astragalus, which is a root that's a really good immune support. Depending on the broth, you can throw other things in. But out of the spice cabinet, things that everybody has that's going to be helpful, you can add sage and thyme. Those aromatics are really, you know, helpful for the respiratory tonics.
What do you do with the bone? I mean, I'm not a very good cook. What do you do with the bone broth then? You just use it in your recipes?
Yeah, you just boil it down and then I just throw it in jars and freeze it. And you don't have to worry about broth when you need broth. It's kind of nice. It's cheap.
Oh, yeah. Like when I make black beans and I put chicken broth in there, just broth. Okay.
Yeah. And I love that by making it at home, first of all, I'm utilizing all of that, you know, that animal, whatever I've got is getting utilized. Mm-hmm. But then I can spike it with herbs and there's a ton we throw in there.
And do you, so my next question is, you know, especially that's a great thing. So two questions for the bone broth. One, you can't cook out the herb, like you can't overheat it and then it ruins the medicinal quality. And two, is there a, such a thing as too much? Like, do you just overpack it with the herbs during, you know, flu season, or is a little bit enough? Like, how do you know how much to use?
And how do you know not to put like elderberry in your lasagna?
Because it would taste like fruit.
Depends what you're going for.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure, you can overdo it. And if it's something that you're taking every day, just be sensible about it. So I'm more of a folk method cook and remedy maker. So I'm not, you know, I don't have my gram scale out for making a tincture. It's more, I'm eyeballing. The jar is 3/4 full. Brandy, glug, glug, glug. That's my technique. And it's the same with my bone broth. So I throw in a handful of astragalus, a handful of nettle. And if I overdo it, it's going to have a really herby taste that won't be super pleasing to my family. So that's a self-limiting, you know, I overdo it, they let me know. And it goes into jelly jars labeled herby broth. And it goes, you know, one at a time into the next batch so that it's not overpowering. So you'll know if you overdo it. And the herbs I'm speaking to are the ones that are safe and that are that you can consume in food-like quantities. So nettle and astragalus, it would be like overdoing, you know,
romaine
salad or they're food-like and those are my favorite to learn with, because you don't have to worry about overdoing it. How many cups of nettle tea can you really drink? You're not going to max yourself out because you're going to be like, I'm done with the tea. So
it is good. I love nettle tea. It's yummy. It tastes good.
Yeah, I like
it. So you can just, you know, and tea is another good thing. I mean, I think for me, if it's been tricky for me to like convince my 10-year-old to drink nettle tea or something, but as an adult, you can just grab some herbs off your counter and just throw them in a strainer and just make tea, and it
totally
doesn't...
Yeah, and that's my go-to. And when I'm harvesting my garden in the summer and I have like 3 calendula flowers and like a pinch of peppermint and like this paltry amount, I throw them all together in the dehydrator and then I put them in a single jar labeled nourishing winter tea, and you just get what you get. And it's just this great mix of just the odds and ends that weren't quite ready for harvest, but a few of them were, and we drink it all winter long. I love it.
So do you need a dehydrator?
Well, it's like 100% humidity all summer long here.
Oh, right.
So I do.
Right.
I don't know about you.
Not in Denver. Right?
Yeah, not in Colorado. It's 100% dry all year.
There you go. Yeah. So you don't, but I do. But you can also use your oven. You can set your, depending on how low you can set your oven temp. That's a really great way to do it without a dehydrator. And they're abundant on, you know, your local free list or Craigslist or whatever. You can get them for cheap if you don't need a fancy one.
So besides the bone broth, what other tips do you have for our moms for immunity or just common children's, you know, issues, a rash?
Sure. So now we're gonna dip our toe into medical advice, which I really can't give.
Sure.
But what I will say is to get kids to take herbs. We talked about tea. There's a recipe in the book for nettle chai, which my kids have always loved. A childhood friend's mom taught me how to make chai when I was in high school, and I just took her super authentic traditional recipe and adapted it to be caffeine free. So I took out the black tea. I put in nettle and raspberry leaf and rooibos, and kids love it. I mean, my daughter will still ask me to make it, because I usually make a pot every Sunday, and she'll say, are you making chai today? So that's an easy way to do it. If you can make it tasty or incorporate it into something that they already love, popsicles, You know, you can make an herbal tea, add a little honey, and then make popsicles out of it. In the book, there's a recipe for elderberry gummies, which are like jello cubes, but they're elderberry. So things like make it fun and make it tasty. Also, kids love to try things they've created themselves. And I think we know this as moms, like that when we get kids involved, they're way more likely to eat the, you know, the weird green food that was cooked if they're the ones who made it. And so for my kids, taking them out, whether that's into the garden to plant seeds and grow something, or whether it's a, you know, a teacup on the windowsill that they're planting something into, or if we're going off on trail and we're foraging, they are all in to eat it when we get home because they were a part of that process. So getting your kids involved in the journey, whether that's, you know, making the tea blends up. My kids loved that when they were little, or literally planting and foraging herbs that they can't help but fall in love with it too.
Yeah.
So what are your, some of your other, we talked about astragalus, dandelion, stinging nettle. What are some others that you kind of just your go-to, your toolbox?
Yeah, it depends a lot on what we're dealing with. So we love elecampane, which is a root. It's a perennial sunflower that the root is an incredible cough remedy. And this was one of these cases of not knowing a ton about herbs, reading about it in a, you know, in a rosemary book and thinking, I want to try this. And I called a friend who had some. She gave it to me. My son had been coughing for 2 weeks. It was just his, that was his weak link when he was little, was his lungs. And he'd get a cold, cough for 2 weeks, be better for a week, get another cold, cough for 2 weeks. We were struggling with health for sure. And I gave him, I made this decoction of elecampane root and I took it into his bedroom. He was maybe 7 years old and he took one sip and he made this one cough, laid down, slept through the night. And he had been up coughing for 2 weeks. And I was like, that was witchcraft and I'm all in. And so I learned more about this plant. Now I grow it and now we infuse it in honey every fall. We dig a root and chop it up to, you know, scrub it and chop it. And we put it in a jar, fresh chopped root, cover it with honey, and that's it. And that's our cough syrup for the whole year.
Wow.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Now, it won't work for everyone. It just happened to have lined up with what his symptoms were, and I just hit it, right? But mullein is another great one. Mullein is, some people, the only thing people commonly confuse it with is lamb's ear, which is like a garden.
Oh, yeah.
Decorative garden plant. So it has
I know one. I know
one. Shayna.
I know that one.
But that's not it. That's the one people confuse it with.
Okay,
so,
got it.
So it's a wild plant that has that same leaf texture, really fuzzy. It sends up this super tall stalk, flower stalk during the second year. But mullein leaf is a really great one for, you know, different types of cough. So it's wild cherry bark. There are all these different herbs in your medicine cabinet. We mentioned thyme and sage earlier. Those are outstanding and you already have them. So you can make a tea and see, is this going to work for, you know, for my people?
That's awesome. And you can get a lot of this information in your book, which we're going to have on Shop the Podcast in the Balm Market so that people can order directly. You're so knowledgeable and you know, your Instagram is amazing as well. So people can follow you. You're such a good writer. So it's great to follow you and see, you know, your philosophies on all of this.
She like builds igloos with her family.
Yeah, it's super awesome.
They like hang out in the snow in a way that's so beautiful and amazing. You're just such an inspiration. And those of us urbanites that are in the city, it's cool to see.
Urbanites?
Aren't we?
I know, but I thought you meant herb, like H-E-R-B.
Urbanites.
Herbanite.
I'm a herbanite urbanite.
Someone on Jeopardy last night actually answered herbal, saying herbal, and it really upset me.
Oh. You can't say herbal?
Apparently you can.
If you're British, you can.
Oh, okay, well, there
got
you go.
Got it.
Perfect.
So we wanted to end our conversation with you with a game that we're hoping you're up for playing. It's one of those quick fire challenges where we're just going to call something out and you're going to have to answer.
Oh boy. Okay.
But it's a little personal. So I don't know how comfortable you are. If there's something that you need to pass on, you can just say pass.
It's not going to incriminate you too much,
but also completely unrelated to herbs and, it's just kind of about you as a human. So, do you think you're up for it?
We'll find out, won't we?
Okay, we're going to do 1 minute rapid fire questions.
Tracy, I'm going to let you ask all the questions.
Oh, no. Why?
Do you want to alternate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, ready? Mm-hmm. Here we go. Madonna or Lady Gaga?
Madonna.
Tacos or pizza?
Tacos.
Your favorite Olympic sport?
Snowboarding?
Ooh.
Favorite bad movie you've watched over and over again?
Bad movie. Boy, I'll have to pass on that one because pass.
Have you ever been in jail?
No.
Epidural or natural?
Natural.
Tampons or the cup?
The cup.
Favorite candle scent?
Beeswax.
Friends or Seinfeld?
Friends.
Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune?
Jeopardy.
What's your favorite breakfast food?
Muffins.
Ooh. Okay, and the last one. Your vagina is the name of the last TV show you watched. Go.
This is where I'm going to out myself. I don't remember the last TV show I watched.
Oh, Rachel, you're amazing. That's your name of your vagina.
I don't remember the last TV.
That's the name of your vagina. I don't remember the last TV show I watched. Rachel, thank you so much. I love your book. I love following you on the gram. Thank you for sharing a little just tip of insight of the breadth of knowledge that we know you have. Thanks for coming on Band of Mothers.
So fun. Thanks for asking me. It was a blast.
Great. And you know what? You are an awesome mom. You're doing a great job. Keep it up.
Thanks so much.
I just made a tincture while we talked to her.
You did. You were just tincturing. Is that a verb? Can you tincture?
It is now. Maybe.
Stop tincturing.
You know, the biggest thing is that it's salve.
That is a big one to learn. I'm still salve.
I know.
I still solve.
But you feel so empowered when you say salve and know that it's salve.
But there is an L.
I know. Well, there's a lot of weird letters and words.
Well, there's a lot of herbs that I will never know how to pronounce. So there should just be a book about that.
I have all of those books.
Astragala?
Astragalus.
Astragalus.
How do I know how to pronounce
this? This is what I was just about to say. Like,
amazing. I just need to be with my plants. Oh, it's the language I speak. I love her.
She's great.
So if you haven't watched our Mother's Day Eve special, it's still streaming through the end of May. Mm-hmm. Great little me time treat. It's only an hour and 15 minutes. Fun to do. Oh, you know what someone told me?
What?
They had a huge party and on Mother's Day Eve, it was like a birthday party. And then they just like had our show playing in the background, during the party.
Really?
Yeah. I just kind of loved that.
Oh, that's fun.
I know. That was fun.
Yeah. It's on stellartickets.com still. So go find the Pump and Dump Show Mother's Day Eve live with the Pump and Dump Show at stellartickets.com.
Or just go to bandofmothers.com.
Or go to bandofmothers.com and you'll be able to stream it through May 31st. But that's it.
That's it, y'all.
So that's not very long from now. So make sure that you pull an hour and 15 minutes to laugh for yourself.
I mean,
and
that's
your friends.
Two episodes of Schitt's Creek. So just watch it. Watch it instead of that.
Do it.
Yeah.
And please check out bomb.market for all of your, for if you want to see what Tracy's been tincturing. We still have our High Plains products.
Including... I am sold out of forest bathing though.
Oh, really?
I got to go forage some more pine needles.
I'm surprised you're not there right now.
I'm dying to be. I don't have the time to drive up to my dad's land, but I will be there. So you can't get the bath salts.
But you can get the amazing High Vibe body oil, which is my favorite thing on the planet.
Yes.
So bomb.market, please follow us on the Instagram. Join our Facebook group. Somebody said that they are not able to say that they're following the rules in order to get let in. Don't know what the problem is. So... I'm pretty much letting you all in now. So
we don't have a social media manager anymore.
It's just
me and Shay. And we don't know what's going on.
But it's super high vibe and fun, and there's so much good info and funny stuff and just mom supporting moms, which is the whole point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Band of Mothers, guys.
Mm-hmm.
We love you. We'll see you next week. Bye.